Luke chapter number 8. Since we finished up with 1 Samuel last week, I thought we'd take a break and start the new book after the missions conference. And tomorrow, to some of you men, this might come as a shock. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, so you're supposed to be nice, extra nice to your wives tomorrow. You're supposed to be nice to them every day. You're supposed to be extra nice to them every day. But just as a little reminder, I thought tonight I'd talk a little bit about a person in the Bible who loved the Lord Jesus Christ a whole big bunch. And I thought tonight that it would be a good and appropriate time. On Sunday morning, we didn't mention anything about love, at least from the aspect of the type of love we should have. And this evening, it might be a Bible character that you might not know a whole big bunch about. And I thought that it was interesting. I've been doing some research and study on this lady's life. And her name was Mary Magdalene. I don't know if it's Mary Magdalene or Mary Magdalene, but we'll say it's the same person anyway. Here in Luke chapter number 8, you're going to see the story here tonight about this lady, and you got to follow through her experiences with the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's some really overwhelming thoughts and some special scenes that Mary Magdalene takes part of in the Bible. There's some really times where you can just see her love for Jesus Christ just pouring out. And I thought it was a really interesting story. It's an interesting character study. And if you never learned very much about Mary Magdalene tonight, I think you're going to take and learn a couple things that you'll sit back and say, wow, that person really, truly loved the Lord Jesus Christ because of the actions that she had. To be honest with you, I think we can learn something from her tonight. I think we as a group, I know me, I can learn a little bit more about how to love them better by looking at the examples out of her life. To be honest with you, the followers of Jesus Christ have always been a fickle group. I'm not trying to pick on church members, but you know, we have been fickle at times. We are excited and we want to follow the Lord with a passion and a fire, and that lasts for a little while, and many times we'll fall back, and then we'll get excited again, and sometimes we'll fall back again. And you even saw in the Bible, you think about it, in John chapter 6, it says there was a vast multitude of people that followed after Jesus. But at the end of John chapter 6, there's only the few left. Even the night in the garden, I know it was because Jesus had orchestrated it this way to fulfill scriptures. It says that they all left Jesus. They fled away. And even as he was getting taken for the trial, you saw that there was only two apostles that were there following, and Peter followed afar off. And I tell you, that's a very dangerous place, trying to follow Jesus Christ afar off. You need to be close to him and a close, intimate fellowship and relationship. But in this story about Mary Magdalene, you're going to see here that she was always very devoted to him. Where he was, many times she was there. She was giving. She was helping. And in this story, you're going to see that she was at the cross. She was at the grave. And she was even at the sepulcher after he rose again. And you're going to see that she just was faithful. And I think this is what God wants from us, is to be faithful. And out of a love for him, our faithfulness will show. And I think how much Mary Magdalene here in the story, I think you're going to see some different things. But I'd like you to look at tonight the love of Mary Magdalene's life. Let's look here in Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed, of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which minister unto him of their substance." So we're introduced to Mary here. I'm just going to call her Mary. I hope that's okay. Everybody knows when we talk about Mary tonight, it's Mary Magdalene or Mary Magdalene, however you want to pronounce it. So I guess call her Mary. Just hopefully you understand there. And it talked about a couple other women. And here you see that as we're introduced to her, she was a woman that was a desperate woman. She was a desperate woman. Why do you say she was a desperate woman? Because of the fact that she had 7 devils that lived within her. She was demon-possessed. She had 7 demons that lived inside of her. She was a desperate woman. You think about the horror of her condition. You think about 7 devils living inside you and being torn apart of which way to do it. I'm sure she was taken and probably had to do some vile things in her life, and these devils controlled and ruined and ruled in her lives. And we saw what those devils did to that man that was out in the graveyards. But we don't know what they did to this woman here. But we see that she was a person that was desperate. We think about her horror of her condition. We think about the hopelessness of her condition. She's out of control, and there is no hope there. There's nothing she can do. Nothing she can do to cause these demons come out. You think about the helplessness of her condition. Under demon control, she was powerless to change her life. She was trapped and totally helpless and enslaved in her lost condition. You know what that shows us a picture of? It shows us a picture of what we were when we were lost. We were without hope. We were without help except for turning to Jesus Christ. We were in a horror of a condition. You say, Pastor, I never saw my life that way. Well, you never understood how bad you were and where you were headed. And you understood that what sin had done and what sin was doing in your life. And it was when we saw Jesus Christ and you understood it for what he's done for us and understood ourselves and asked Jesus Christ to save us, that's when we become saved. And we could bring a lot of things out about that tonight, but we're just going to try to set the picture here. This woman was in a desperate situation. She needed help. Praise the Lord, God can help us. Praise the Lord that God can do things to make a difference in our lives. John chapter number 7, there's a story of a woman who came and was washing Jesus' feet with her tears and wiping away with her hair. And in verse number 47 in John 7, just a few verses up, it says, Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now, some people, some commentators will say that it's talking about the same woman here. You go through John chapter number 7, and once again the chapters, divisions were created by man, and it came at pass afterward that, you know, it talked about how it was a transition there. Whether or not that was the same woman or not, I don't really know. But I do know that she had many sins that were forgiven, and because she was forgiven much, because of the life that she led with these demons, she loved much also. And Christian, what we need to understand is that we need to learn how to love Jesus Christ much, because we were all in a desperate situation. But some of us just choose not to see it. Some of us choose to say, well, yes, I was in a little bit of problem. I was in a little bit of trouble. No, we were all in hopeless. We were all helpless. And we were all in a horrible situation, in a horrible pit, till Jesus came and lifted us out of that. And we need to understand that. And as we understand that and we see what Jesus Christ has done for us, that is what's going to cause our love to grow. And that's what's going to cause our love to flourish. And that's what's going to cause our Christian lives to become more of a loving example to other people. Not only do I want you to see that she was a desperate woman, but she also was a delivered woman. She was a delivered woman. If you think about this, it's in other passages of Scripture, and we are going to turn to some, it says that she, here in this passage of Scripture, that Jesus cast out, she was healed of the evil spirits. And later on it says that she was these evil spirits were cast out of her. She experienced the Lord's power. She was a delivered woman. She experienced the Lord's power. She, when Jesus reached out to this woman and delivered her, she experienced the power of God. She instantly was delivered and set free from her sins, or from these demons. And that's what happens to us when we're saved. We are delivered from the power of sin. That is what the power of Jesus possesses, and that's what Jesus Christ can do for our life. And we are building up, because most of the story tonight is going to be Mary Magdalene and her devotion that she had. But I want you to see first, she was a desperate woman, and she was a delivered woman. Not only did she experience the Lord's power, she experienced the Lord's peace. I don't know about you, but peace is something that many times is out of our reach. If you have a lot of kids running around your house, or you're around a lot of kids, man, it can drive you crazy sometimes. Or you're just looking for a little bit of peace. You're looking for a little bit of comfort. You have one or two like we do. I still sometimes wonder how those that have four or five or six or seven or eight, that how they do it. But she experienced the Lord's peace. She was in confusion. Her heart and her mind was completely controlled. These seven demons talking to her, each trying to control her, each trying to have their will outdone in this woman's life. She was in a horrible spot. And she experienced the Lord's peace. I don't know about you, but if you go back and you remember the day you were saved, and I'm here to say that I know that not everybody might remember the exact date and the hour, but you will remember when you got saved. Yes, you, there will be a place that can go back and you can say, right there. Yep. That's when now you might not say, well, I know the exact address, but you can remember a place and a time when you went forward and you said, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I am in need of a Savior, and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I believe everyone will have that testimony. And And that's something that this woman, when these demons were cast out, she experienced the Lord's peace. And that's, I don't know about you, but when I was saved, when I got up, I was only an 8 or 9 year old boy. But I know that there was something different in my life. There was a peace in my heart. When I went forward, I knew that I was under great conviction. I knew I had great needs. I knew that I needed the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I asked Him to save me, there was a comfort and a peace in my heart, my life. Now, didn't mean that I had to get up and I wasn't crying. I didn't have full tears in my eyes. And when the lady came up to me and asked me if I needed any help, you know, how to get saved, any help, I told her no, I was good. I'd already been to church all my life. I knew that what I needed was Jesus Christ. She still say it's that there. I'm glad she did to help me, just, you know, try to direct me through. But I knew what I needed. I knew I needed to be saved. And when I got up, I give my heart to Jesus, and there was the Lord's peace in my mind and heart. And if you've never had that or experienced that, you need to look back on your life and look at the time where you think that you were saved and ask the Lord if you truly accepted Him as your Savior. A lot of people live their lives believing something that really, truly does not save them. Third thing I want you to see is that she was a devoted woman. She was a devoted woman. You see what it says here in verse number 3, her devotion is seen in her giving. Her devotion is seen in her giving. It says, and of Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's servant, steward, and Susanna, and many others, which minister of him of their subsistence. You know, some people say, I wonder where Jesus was taken care of. You know, he went from place to place. You know, how did he, obviously he didn't have a home that he stayed in or a house that he lived in all the time. And some people say, I wonder who supported or how their ministry was supported and things like this. Well, it tells right here that this woman, she showed her devotion and her giving. It would appear that she was among those women that helped him spiritually. And when the Lord got her, he also got her pocketbook. You say, Pastor, you're talking about giving money. I'm talking about how if the Lord gets you and you're in love with him, you're going to be willing to give of yourself. And you know what's part of yourself? It's the pocketbook or your wallet. I mean, it's just, that is just the truth. You're going to give of yourself. And that's what, if you truly love someone, you know, husbands and wives, if you truly love one another or you want to demonstrate your one another, you're going to give of yourself, of all of yourself, you know, of your time and of your possessions and of your talents and your abilities. It's just the truth. That's part of showing and demonstrating love. You're going to give of yourself. And here is the reason why we start with this as the first one, because this is the first passage of Scripture here. But here it's saying that she gave of herself. She gave of her substance. She gave of what she had. And that's going to be the truth. Next week, if we go and we consider missions and supporting world evangelism around the world and things like that, are we going to give of ourselves for the things that the Lord Jesus Christ loves? And that's a question that we need to ask. You go back to Malachi, and it talked about how they were bringing animals that were not fit for sacrifice. And the book of Malachi says, look, you try to go give that to your governor, or go take that animal and try to pay your debt off. They wouldn't accept it. Why would you bring it to me, the Lord? And that's what many times we are doing, is we are not really giving of ourselves, we're giving what's left over. Here, this woman, she was desperate, and she was delivered, and when she was delivered, she became devoted. After she met the Master, she became inseparable from Him. She followed Him around, and she took care of Him as He was there. I don't know what she did. I don't know if she prepared the meals. I don't know if she just helped take care of Him and His daily needs and things like that. I don't really know, but I know that she gave of herself. And Christian, how much are we really giving of ourselves? Now, we should give of ourselves when we're talking about our husband and wives, even to our children. But how much are we giving of ourselves when it comes to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? This woman, out of her love. So the first thing that we see here, she saw devotion in her giving. Next thing I want you to see is her devotion is seen in her following. Her devotion is seen in her following. Take your Bibles now and go to John chapter number 19. In John chapter number 19, in verse number 25, not only do you see her with him when it was easy, you see her at the cross when many of the followers were gone. The Bible doesn't record any of the other disciples, any of the apostles being there except for John. But here in John chapter 19, you see in verse number 25, it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. So she was there. You say, what's important about that? Well, you don't see the thousands that were there, do you? You don't see the multitudes that were following, looking for the healings. But what do you see here? You see a woman out of love in a place that was maybe even dangerous for her to be, was there with Jesus Christ. I want you to take your Bibles now and go over to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, and we chose that John passage because you see she's there and she's as close as his family is to him. His mother's there. And that's how close she was. That's how much love she has with him. As close as a family member was. She even followed his body to the tomb and she remained there. This is one of the passages of the scriptures that I think you can see the love of Mary had for Jesus. And here in Matthew chapter 27, you look in verse number 55. Matthew 27, verse 55, it says, "And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. And which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Jose, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it on his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed." Look what it says in verse 61. "And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre." I don't know about you, but there's nobody else there left but this Mary Magdalene and this other Mary. Now, who the other Mary is, I don't know. And I tell you, one of my favorite lady Bible characters is Mary of Bethany. You don't see Mary of Bethany at the crucifixion. You don't see her at the tomb. I think she kind of understood what was going on. I think she knew that Jesus was going to come back, and that's why she anointed her body ahead of time. You can speculate like that if you want to, but I think Mary's there. And you can see that she cares. I believe she's mourning here. She's weeping over what happened to her Savior. Can you imagine Mary Magdalene sitting there watching the cross, watching that scene there? Can you picture there? Mary Magdalene's there and she's there watching, you know, everybody else around her. You know what they're saying about him? He's a fake. He's a fraud. But Mary knows better, doesn't she? Mary had been personally healed. Mary had went and watched and seen multitudes healed. And now her Lord is dead. She follows the body. You don't see any of the disciples here. Where are the disciples at? They're afraid. They're afraid of the Jews. They're hiding in some upper room, some other place. But where do you see? You see that Mary's there out of a love and devotion for him. And there's a time of mourning and a time of weeping. She's not concerned for herself. She's not worried what's going to happen to her. She's there outside the tomb. And you see her devotion and her following. I also want you to see her devotion and her faithfulness. Go ahead and take your Bible now and go back to John. John chapter number 20. In John chapter number 20, you have the events unfolding of that first Easter morning. And Mary Magdalene, I believe, had an important part here. Jesus actually appeared to Mary before he appeared to anybody else. Say, why did he appear before Mary? Why did Mary get that special privilege? I don't know. Maybe Mary was the most excited to see him. You think about it. She was the one that was there at the cross. She was the one there at the grave. Probably helped him with the wrapping of the tomb. And now Jesus let this woman who had cast out of 7 demons. Of course, you know, he could have found a more pure woman for her whole life. You know, I'm sure Mary Bethany had kept, or, you know, Peter or John. You know, why would they choose Mary? I think it's because above everybody else, Mary might have been the most excited to see him because Mary maybe loved him just as much, if not more than the rest of them. Here in the story in John chapter number 20, you see in verse number 11, the word of God says, "But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping." To tell you the story, this is the way I picture it goes. Mary's there with the women and she's headed to the tomb. She's got the spices. They're going to anoint Jesus' body. She rounds the bend or she goes to the sepulchre. The tomb is rolled away. The stone is rolled away. She knows the body's gone. She takes off. She starts running. She needs to go see Peter and John. She's going to go tell Peter and John what's going on. She gets to Peter and John, and then Peter and John says that they run forward, and they run off, and they enter the tomb. And by the time they come back, Mary's coming back, and there's nobody left at the tomb anymore. And here in verse number 11, you have Mary walking up to the tomb. It says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and see if two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the other feet, where the body of Jesus had lain." So she sees this. And this is an important trait. And I want you to understand, Mary loved Jesus much, but Mary lacked faith a little bit here. You know, this is not just about loving the Lord. It's about having the faith and believing in Jesus Christ at the same time. In verse 13, "And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." They had not entered into her heart or her idea or even her mind yet that Jesus had raised from the dead. In verse number 14, "And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus." So she turned and she's still weeping. She even ignores the angels. In her grief and her overwhelmedness, she doesn't even pay attention to what the angels are saying. In verse number 15, "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if they have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her." Now, another scene here where I see that Mary has a special relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, this gardener comes, this man comes up behind her and says something to her, doesn't even recognize his voice. But when they mention the word Mary, there's a special connection there. That was her Lord and her Savior, her Master. Only he could talk to her that way. And I don't know about you, but I think about how the Lord speaks to my heart sometimes. And that's a special relationship. When God is working and talking to you and you know you're supposed to do something, isn't it amazing that the God of the universe speaks to us, shows us our need, tells us what we need to do? And I'm not talking in an audible voice, but if we've heard good preaching, if we know that we're not supposed to do something, or God's encouraging us to do something, and we know it's only coming from the Lord, you know, that's God speaking to your heart. And Mary here, you know, Jesus is asking, you know, who are you looking for? And she's like, if they've taken his body away, you tell me where he is. I'll go and I'll take it away from them. She's looking for this body. They had already crucified him. They had already beaten him. They already put him a crown of thorns. All she wanted to do was give him a proper burial like he deserved. And all that was in her mind was, I need to get the body back. And Jesus just says, Mary. And just, you know, when God speaks to us and calls her name, you say, what's the big deal? Well, you think about it. When Jesus was walking on that road to Emmaus, those two disciples, they sat there and they talked to Jesus. It took them how long before they ever realized who he was? You think about Jesus and that fishing trip after they had gone out and Jesus had been there for a while, that fishing trip, he's talking to them. And you know how long it took before they realized who he was? But see, Mary, all she had to do was hear his name, her name. That was a special, intimate relationship they had. And I'm not talking sexual relationship. That's ridiculous blasphemy. It's you know, some people try to make that. Different religions even try to make that relationship between Jesus and Mary and Magdalene. And that's just contrary to what the Bible teaches us. But here we see that you can have a close-knit relationship with God. That love. I don't know about you, but when I think about this story, and I see this woman who was desperate, and she had these demons cast out, and then she spent these years following Jesus, giving of herself, giving of her time, giving of her possessions, to just making sure the Lord was taken care of. And then the day that he went to the cross, when everybody else forsook him, except for maybe his closest family, this group of women who was led by Mary, it turns around and she is there. She is far away, and then she grows close. She gets close to him. And then when they carry his body to the tomb, she follows him. And then when she's there, she sits and she weeps because of how much she loves him. And then that morning when Jesus appears to her before anybody else and says her name, Mary, I don't know about you, but that talks to me about the special relationship they had, the devotion that she had for him. It was a relationship that she cared for his physical needs. She knew him, knew his soul in a sense, and the fact how close she, devotion did not stop at death, and they were close to the family. So how do you apply that to your hearts tonight? How's your relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, tomorrow is supposed to be Valentine's Day, and it would have been simple to bring a husband and wife message, but there's a lot of people here tonight whose husbands have passed on or wives passed on or maybe no longer married and things like that. I know there are some that are husbands and wives are sitting next to each other tonight, but we can all talk about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Are we truly showing our devotion and our giving? Are we truly showing what we're devoted towards? You know, if you really care about something, you're going to be willing to give. You're going to be willing to sacrifice. You're going to be willing to put forth towards that. And I mean, that's what Mary does here. It's going to be shown also in your following. Yeah, you know, it's in the idea of how you treat the person. But it also is going to be shown in your faithfulness. If you're here tonight and you're married, you should be thankful for your mate. You should be willing to be faithful to your mate. That should not be something that you're doing and you feel like you're accomplishing something. That's your duty. You should desire to be faithful. There should be no question in unfaithfulness when it comes into a relationship. And if you're struggling down there and you're going down that wrong path, you need to stop and turn back to the Lord and ask God for your help. And if you're involved with somebody else who is married that's going on that, you need to stop and repent of your sins and also get that right too, because that is wicked. And that is wrong, is completely against what the Bible teaches. So you make a commitment before God, you stand before God, and you make that commitment, you do your best to keep that commitment on your side. And so, I mean, that's clearly, but you see that she's faithful to Jesus. And how faithful are we? We all like to sing, we sing songs about how we love Jesus, and we sing songs about how much we care for him, and we talk a good game. You ever met a husband or wife that talks so much about how they love their husband or wife, and then you just never see it? You see the way they treat them, or you see the way they act towards them. And I'm not talking about anybody here. I don't even try to picture or visualize people here. I'm not talking about, you just know there's something wrong there. And I think there's something wrong in our relationship when we talk about how much we love the Lord. When we sing about how much we love the Lord, when we express to the world, yes, I love Jesus, I'll wear the t-shirt, I'll wear the hat, I'll tell whoever wants to know, but then it doesn't show up in our giving or sacrificing. It doesn't show up when it comes to our following Jesus. It doesn't show up when it comes to our faithfulness. You know, there's things that compete for his attention. There's things that compete for our desires and our emotions toward him. He deserves to be number one in our life. And I think Mary Magdalene in her life, I really think that he was the love of her life. We don't know if Mary Magdalene was married. And, you know, once again, there's enough room, ladies, in your life for the Lord first and your husband second. There's enough room for that too, husbands with your wives. You know, you can do both. That's the way God's designed it, to make it to all three. You can do both. But tonight, how much do you love him? Not how much do you say you love him. How much do you show that you love him? Is it really something that's found in your following? Because if the Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And that's part of a sign that we can show we love him. If you love me, you're going to be faithful. If you love me, you're going to be willing to give the way he's asked us to give. I don't think he asked too much. If we go back and see what Mary Magdalene's life was changed completely. He said, Pastor, if I had seven demons in me and he caused me to turn around and become, I'd be willing to do anything for him too. Believe me, Mary Magdalene was just as bad off as she was. We were headed to the exact same place. We didn't have any control over ourselves either. Just because she had seven demons in her, and maybe she had lived in a what we consider a more horrible sinner's life than maybe we did, doesn't make her any worse or any better than us. We are all in need of the Savior. And we are all just owes so as much for his grace in our lives, I guess, as Mary owed for his grace in her life too. So now I want you to think about that. And I know tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and I think it's a holiday that's cooked up by the Hallmark people to make you buy more cards, and cooked up by the florist shops to make you buy more flowers. And I'm not even saying you need to go buy cards or flowers or things like that. You need to make sure that those people that are special to you, that you appreciate them and show your appreciation. And not just one day a year, but throughout every day of the year. And when we do that, I know they set aside this 14th, and if whatever you do in your own family, that's fine, that's great. But what about our Lord and Savior? Shouldn't we be willing to love him the way Mary Magdalene did? You say, Pastor, nobody loves him that way anymore. Nobody was there at that tomb outside either, was they? No one else was there weeping, looking for his body anymore. She was there by herself in some of those spots. It's because she loved him much. And you can look at that story in Mark chapter number 7 and say, that's the same woman. That's up to you. But I know that Mary Magdalene loved Jesus much, no matter who that woman was. There's one last thing to think about. She needed some faith, though. You know, the angels were there. The empty tomb was there. It wasn't until Jesus said something to her that she finally got it. She needed some help in her faith. So if you really truly love the Lord, allow God to help you increase your faith too. It's not just about loving him. If you want to accomplish things, you have to have faith. Jesus, once she had the faith to believe that it was him, Jesus was able to use him to go send them to say something to the disciples, and she was more than glad to go and do the master's bidding. But she had to have the faith to believe in him first. So not all about love, but you have to have faith. And to follow it, you have to have faith to be faithful. Let's go ahead and pray.